Welcome to the Chronically Real Podcast, real life, real talk. I am your host, CMT Strong. Did I just mess that up? I did.
Bit.
I am your host. I am your host, CMT Strong, and I think we're going to leave that in there. I'm with my host, not my host, I'm the host. DO3 is my co-host. How you doing, DO3?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing fine, man. What's up with Charlie? Look at that mop on him.
Yeah, I need to start taking him to the groomer, but it's so ridiculously expensive just for a little dog.
How much does it cost?
I mean, $80, but if we want him to get all decked out, it's about $100.
Of course, we want him to get him the vanilla foo-foo smelling stuff.
Hey, it's coconut smelling. At least that's what the groomer said.
What a spoiled dog, man. Acts like a cat, like this is my house.
Yeah, he kind of just takes up room wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
He's lucky that we like him.
Yeah, what a spoiled dog. When I'm meal prepping, he sits there like he's entitled to what I'm cooking. Because he gets free game. Spills on the floor, I mean, that's free game for a dog, right? Isn't that like a universal law or something?
Or when our hands give out magically and there's food in it, that's for him.
Well, anyway, we got a special show for you today. We got Lindsay and Matt Taylor with us. Lindsay is into the fitness lifestyle, healthy lifestyle. And we brought her husband along with, because I think it's really important to get his perspective too. Lindsay lives with a chronic illness. She's been able to endure some hard times in her life, some tragedy, but still find the power within herself to live a healthy lifestyle. How you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us on.
You're welcome. Welcome to the show. I have a few questions for you because I ran across your Facebook and your Instagram, and I was just so inspired by some of the decisions you made and the actions you took, especially with what you're going through in life and what you've been through, Lindsay. Can we get your thoughts on some of the things that you said and some of the things that you went through? But we'd like to talk to you about you and your husband. When did the sparks fly? Yeah.
Well, I think it's funny that we're going to lead with that question because I think right off the bat, we're going to turn some heads.
That's okay.
So we met in a very untraditional way. I was actually the babysitter for our oldest son when he was a baby. At the time, there wasn't anything more between us. We just always got along well. I would say that there was an unspoken connection that neither of us were even aware of until years later, when Matt and his ex split, and then we just kind of organically came together.
Just morphed together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the sparks flew eventually, right?
Yeah.
And yes.
You started a family, I see.
Yeah.
How many kids you
15,
got?
15 years ago we started together. And then, so we have my oldest two boys are from a previous marriage, 18 and now 14.
Mm-hmm.
And Lindsay and I together have two beautiful little girls, 8 and 2, but almost 3. And next week.
Oh, I've seen that. They're certainly precious girls. It looks like you guys have a good time and very happy.
Oh, yeah. We have every age covered and they keep us all on our toes.
Yes.
From teenager to toddler, it's, you know, it's interesting in our home.
That's great.
That's one way to put it.
Now, Lindsay, you live with a chronic illness. What is that? And can you let us know about it a little bit?
I have Charcot-Marie-Tooth disease, known more commonly as CMT. The name always throws people off, and most people I talk to have never heard of it. It's one of the most commonly inherited neurological disorders, and it's reported that roughly around 126,000 people in the U.S. have it and 2.6 million worldwide. Although I don't even know how accurate those numbers are because I think it's more common and goes undiagnosed for many years or misdiagnosed in a lot of people. Essentially, it causes damage to the peripheral nervous system, which in turn causes muscle weakness and atrophy. I have CMT1A, which is the most common type, but there's many different types that vary based on their pattern of inheritance. So with CMT1A, I basically have a duplicated gene called the PMP22 gene. And what happens is it exerts an extra protein that eats away at the myelin sheath, which is the protective layer around our nerves. So the idea is once your nerves become damaged, your muscles aren't stimulated like they normally are. And that's where it's believed that the muscle wasting and weakness comes into play. So it generally, people with this disorder generally experience foot and leg weakness in their foot and legs, foot deformities, including high arch and hammer toes, numbness, tingling or burning, or loss of temperature and sensation tension in the hands and feet, discomfort or pain in your hands and feet. And you can also have like scoliosis and things like that.
When were you diagnosed?
I was diagnosed when I was 22. Doctors told me at the time, based on my progression and symptoms, I may need braces to help me walk by the time I was in my 30s. That couldn't be farther from the truth at this point.
And what were the events leading up to the diagnosis? How did you know that something was going on?
Leading up to the diagnosis, the very first symptom I recall was when I was in first grade, I had a tremor in my hands. And then around 10 years old, I remember noticing my hammer toes and high arch. I noticed that my feet just looked funny and different than others. Around 13 is when I began to, they began to go numb. It first felt like I was like stepping on balls on the pad of my foot. So I saw a doctor back then. They did an x-ray, didn't see anything. We went and saw a neurologist. And I remember they took like a vibration tool to my foot and I didn't feel it till it was at like a level 6. At that point, they had mentioned to my dad, I don't remember this. He told me this years later, but they had mentioned that it could be Charcot-Marie-Tooth disease. They said we would need further testing. And I guess my parents just didn't decide to pursue that. I ultimately lived a normal childhood. I was active. I played tennis through high school, so I never really had any issues. So I became more aware of it in my early 20s. My husband and I would go for walks, just like 30-minute walks, and we would get back, and I would feel like tingling and numbness all up my leg. I also had really poor circulation, so my feet were often like ice cold and purple. They would turn purple. I knew at that point it was something wasn't right, so I went to a podiatrist initially, and he had asked me almost right off the bat if I had ever heard of Charcot-Marie-Tooth disease. And at that point, I had never heard of it. He clarified, you don't know anyone in your family that has this. And I said, no. He said, well, it's a neurological thing, so you need to see a neurologist. Went on, saw the neurologist. They did what's called a nerve conduction test. And I ended up failing that. And so they sent me for genetic blood testing. And that's when they were able to confirm the diagnosis of CMT1A.
So how did you feel about this? What was going on within yourself when you were hearing and going through all this?
I was a mess at first. I remember the podiatrist immediately telling me, don't go home and Google it. He's like, you'll freak yourself out. But of course, I Googled it right away before I even left the parking lot that day. I just remember reading about it and just kind of being in disbelief on the way home. I called Matt and I was like, just the reality of I might have trouble walking one day. Like, this could affect that. I was so young at that point. I was scared. I had no idea what to expect. So when I got the official diagnosis, I remember feeling really down for a few days, just soaking in the reality of what that diagnosis meant. It was one of those things where at the time, I remember I just quickly snapped out of it and thought, well, I better make the most of the days and years I do have walking without issues. I later took on the mentality of this disease is not going to define me or stop me from living my life and pursuing my dreams. Like, I was like, I can do anything.
Plus, I would say, though, one thing is that when the doctors first diagnosed her, their prognosis and their outlook wasn't super positive.
No.
They were saying there's nothing you can do about this. You can't.
Exercise isn't going to help.
Exercise is not going to help. Diet's not going to help. Like, nothing's going to help. You're just really at the whim of this disease. What happens will happen. They weren't very positive, to be honest.
I see. And what was going on in your head, Matt? Difficult. What were you thinking?
Well, it was hard because she had struggled with, I mean, honestly, a couple of other various health issues leading up to that. And so for the longest time, you know, she's like, I know something's just not right. I know something's not right because she's very in tune with her body and how she feels and things like that. So at least a couple, 3 years almost leading up to that, she knew something wasn't right. When she finally got the diagnosis, obviously at first she was really pretty distraught because they did, you know, they didn't paint a very good picture. But at the same time, I think there was a little bit of not relief, but just knowing, okay, this is here. Maybe this is it. This is what it is. So at least knowing what you're dealing with, I think maybe helped a little bit. At first it was definitely hard, but it really didn't take long. Cause CMT didn't know who they were dealing with when she was diagnosed. So it didn't take long before she pretty much said, okay, watch me now.
And Lindsay, in a Facebook post, you talk about your first pregnancy. You mentioned that it was traumatic. How was it traumatic? Was there a difference in that pregnancy than your next one? And what was that difference?
My first pregnancy, the pregnancy itself was fine. It was the birth that was traumatic. So I'll spare all the gory details. But essentially, to make a long story short, when I was giving birth, the placenta ruptured inside of me. And the doctor ended up leaving some in there. And so I got a huge infection that they originally had said went sepsis. So I ended up spending a week in the hospital. cycle on IV antibiotics. All ended up being okay. Really, after the pregnancy, I was very swollen. I just didn't recover very well. I had gained like 40 pounds with my first pregnancy. So it was after 6 months when I wasn't losing the last half of the weight. That's actually when my fitness journey began. It really just began to lose the baby weight and turn into a lifestyle that would end up changing my life and the trajectory of my CMT in the most profound ways. My second pregnancy, that was 4 years later after starting my fitness journey. I went into that pregnancy in the best shape of my life at that point. I ended up maintaining my normal fitness level and healthy eating throughout the pregnancy. And what's crazy is with that pregnancy, I only gained 15 pounds. When I tell people that, first of all, they're like, is that healthy and normal? Like, they're shocked. And honestly, I was shocked myself. I wasn't focused on the weight. That was not a thing at all. I ate my normal meals. I maintained my fitness regimen. And it's truly amazing how things turned out. My first daughter weighed 6 pounds, 7 ounces at birth. So like I said, I almost gained 40 pounds with her. And then my second daughter weighed 7 pounds, 8 ounces. She was a bigger baby. I mean, they were both healthy. My birth was a night and day difference. The first birth, I was in labor 36 hours. The second, 7 and a half from start to finish. And I actually had an unmedicated home birth with the second, and it was just so smooth.
It was amazing. I always thought, like, for the second pregnancy, we were like saying, like, kind of like joking, like, how much weight you think you're going to gain, blah, blah, blah. I just kind of thought you just had to gain, like, it was normal to gain 30 pounds. I thought that was it.
Yeah.
So watching her, but here's the thing. So she was eating like crazy. So when she didn't gain any weight, it's not like she doesn't diet. It's healthy eating. So she out eats me like crazy. So it wasn't the fact that she was not eating or whatever. If anything, she doesn't overeat, but she eats so much because she stays active and healthy. And yeah, and just, it's amazing what the body can do when it's fueled like it should be. Yeah.
Absolutely. And Lindsay, exercise. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I want to talk to you more a little bit about that. And you stated in this post regarding your pregnancies, you mentioned you don't underestimate the power of exercise and nutrition. What do you mean by that?
Well, as I mentioned, exercise and nutrition has truly changed the trajectory of my CMT. In many ways, I say it's reversed my symptoms. It has reversed my symptoms. I no longer have the circulation issues, so I don't have the issues with the cold feet or them turning purple. The numbness, I would say, is better in my feet. And I also don't get the numbness up my legs like I used to get after walks. I've been able to build muscle, strength. I'm even able to run, although I don't love running. I can do, like, it's called high intensity interval training workouts, mm-hmm. HIIT workouts.
Yeah.
I can even do that. So I can do jumping stuff and that kind of stuff I would have never been able to do back in my early 20s when I was first diagnosed. I just wasn't in the health for that. I've learned firsthand. And food is genuinely our fuel source and nourishment for our body. That saying, we are what we eat, as cliche as it is, it's so true. And I believe food either fuels disease or fights disease. And exercise is no different.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, there's a long list of health benefits, both for our physical and our mental health when it comes to exercise. It's huge.
You started exercising during your second pregnancy, right?
My first. Right after my first. Yeah. So
okay,
I started So I started my fitness journey 7.5 years ago. And again, that was just to lose the baby weight initially and then fell in love with it. And I gradually increased my intensity over the years, eventually moving into hiring a coach 2.5 years ago.
And in an awareness video on your Facebook, you were getting quite emotional and you said that the gym has changed your life. You want to elaborate a little more on that and tell us about your nutrition?
I've never felt better, truly. I feel like with each passing year, I only get healthier. It's not only helped me with bodybuilding, but it's helped me, I like to call it life building. There's so many important qualities you begin to possess when you commit yourself to an active and healthy lifestyle, like dedication, discipline, hard work. That helps in all areas of life. Not to mention, it's my total outlet and sanity saver, being a working mom. With my nutrition, I follow a non-inflammatory diet, which I believe is key to nurturing our body properly.
Good idea.
An example, foods that fight inflammation are like fruits, veggies, avocados, nuts, olive oil, sweet potatoes, fatty fish like salmon. Foods that cause inflammation are your typical American diet type foods, fried foods, sugar, gluten, dairy, processed refined foods, alcohol. And this is probably going to be a really unpopular statement, caffeine. So I personally cut out caffeine. caffeine 10 years ago, and I believe that has helped tremendously. I get my energy from eating right and attempting to get enough sleep, but the attempt is the really big one with that one. I also cut out dairy and gluten, so I don't eat that, and I don't eat red meat either. I mainly eat lean meats like chicken and ground turkey. I eat salmon, veggies, some fruit, usually berries, rice, sweet potatoes, and then I do like egg whites for breakfast. And then I believe in splurging in moderation. I think following an 80-20 rule is good. 80% clean, healthy foods, 20% whatever you want, because I don't believe in depriving ourselves completely. I don't think that's healthy either. Although I still try and keep, when I do splurge, I still try and keep it on the healthier side.
And Matt, he and her husband and spending a lot of time with her, you may have noticed improvement or changes. What are those changes? And how do you feel it's benefited your family?
Well, first of all, I can say that the benefit has been just her overall health from where it was way back in the day compared to where it is now is just, is two completely different bodies. It's before she didn't have energy sometimes, she didn't feel good, kind of symptom after symptom on different things. And then now she is like this pinnacle of, she just like, her body kind of glows because it's so clean. So I'm like the control group because I do not eat healthy, really. You know, somewhat I eat by proxy. You know, sometimes there's some by proxy I'd eat healthy. But like in general, I have my coffee in the morning. Uh-huh. I do like bacon cheeseburgers and whatnot. So I'm not fit. I've been healthy, knock on wood. In a lot of ways, it's really inspiring to watch and to see. I not only see the benefits of all of her healthy eating and healthy lifestyle, I see all of the hard work, commitment. This isn't just you're eating salad with your dinner here and there. It is a total commitment of day in, day out, of eating the right things, making good decisions on things, being able to be like, you know, something might sound good, not worth it at the moment, and to the commitment of what it actually takes as far as being in the gym and everything. And then, of course, watching the changes over the last, especially 3 years now, with when she's really bumped up her exercise and her weightlifting, the physical changes that her body's going through.
You proud of her?
Oh my gosh, I'm so proud of her.
Lindsay, I noticed that there was another video. You had COVID, it seems.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that. Give us a little more information on that for our audience. Do you feel personally that your healthy lifestyle helped you combat this nasty virus?
Yes. Well, in all honesty, I was really sick with COVID. That's why we kind of laughed. To put things into context, though, I got it right after my fitness competition. So my body was depleted. And I believe that that negatively affected my immune system at the time. Nonetheless, I was able to fight it. I never had breathing issues. I never had to be hospitalized. The only weird thing, my heart rate was really low. It was like in the low 30s on and off during my stint with COVID. And I was just really sick for a solid 14 days. I couldn't get out of bed. I had some lingering effects like vertigo. To this day, my smell and taste, it's been over a year, are still not right. Yeah, it really did take me out pretty good. I know a lot of people that have had it way less intense than I had it. But all that said, I was able to get back in the gym after 3 weeks. I did vitamin IVs, and that helped to kind of get healthy again. I definitely think, no matter what, I think the best defense against COVID is a healthy lifestyle, because COVID is brutal for some, for others, not so much. It's just one of those things, you never know. Mm. But I think your best defense is definitely the quality of your health, for sure.
But I will say my cheeseburger and coffee diet has kept me safe. So
okay. He never got
We're involved in a fitness competition, so you're and I understand this because I follow you, that you are a fitness competitor. What made you decide to compete, and what were you thinking? What were your feelings leading up to this decision to get on stage?
I'm a bikini bodybuilding competitor. There's different divisions. So 2.5 years ago, I just decided I was ready to take my fitness to another level. I was getting kind of bored with what I was doing, and I wanted a new challenge. So that's when I made the decision to hire a coach. Truly, I've been able to achieve the quote-unquote impossible. I've put on a great deal of muscle from my first competition till now. There was a part of me that had twinges of self-doubt, like, how the heck am I going to get on stage in those heels? I mean, that was let alone pose in them. Like, I mean, walking in heels is obviously difficult. Posing is definitely something I struggle with the most. I'm just very tight. My muscles are tight. I'm not fluid. Moving in the heels isn't easy. I definitely doubted myself to a degree and wondered if I was cut out for this sport. But then I thought, get outside your comfort zone, push your limits. That's always been my thing, and just go for it. It's truly been an amazing adventure. I love everything that goes into it, including realizing that our limitations are mainly in our mind. I mean, that is truly what I've learned. Not only am I obviously still walking at 33 without assistance and braces, I'm building muscle and I'm stepping on stage in heels. And that's totally contrary to what I was told would be possible when I was diagnosed.
So when you're preparing for a show, what does your routine look like? What is your exercise routine? What does your nutrition look like during this time?
When I'm prepping for a show, it's obviously super clean eating. It's very regimented. I'm counting my macros to the T. There's no splurge meals. So it's mainly egg whites and either oats or rice for breakfast. And then it's chicken, rice, and asparagus for the next tilapia. Five meals. Yeah, the tilapia. The
Matt
last...
knows.
I know. Yeah, I got to watch this whole thing. Yeah, it's a lot of tilapia.
Yeah, the
like
last,
all your meals.
Yeah, the last two
breakfast,
or three weeks.
Dinner.
Yeah. The last two or three weeks, it's literally tilapia every single meal with rice and a veggie, like usually asparagus. When I'm prepping for a show, the nutrition is very specific. It's super clean. And the reason the tilapia is not great nutritionally, it's just easy to digest. When we're talking about fitness competitions and nutrition for that, it's a little different than if we're talking true
nutrition. Yeah, different
ball
game, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, because you're having to fuel your body in different ways to get it to look how you need it to look.
As a fitness competitor myself, I concur with that.
Damn, yes.
Crazy. No bacon. Yeah. Huh?
No bacon. You have to wait till after the show to get a cheeseburger like Matt.
That's not very American.
No, I'm not very American.
So you're telling me I can't have a piece of bacon every single day and look like a Greek god?
Yeah. Funny how that works, right?
If only it were that easy.
Right.
Yeah.
So I want to transition to what might be a sensitive topic for the both of you. I know that you've experienced recently, this year, in fact, over April, May sometime, you experienced a personal loss. You experienced tragedy in your life. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, it was May 9th, Mother's Day. Our oldest, Alex, was 17 at the time. He's definitely had some off and on struggles. Since he was little, he's definitely had some issues of, it's such a slippery slope here. He has some issues with some abandonment with his mom growing up. So he definitely had some struggles along the way.
Yeah, we raised them. They lived with
yeah,
us.
We've mm-hmm. had both the boys since, right really when we first got together, since they were, the youngest was less than a year old. And we've raised them full time. Alex eventually struggled with some mental health and then some substance and addiction issues. He unfortunately overdosed on fentanyl on the 8th going into the 9th. We had to take him off life support.
Sorry to hear that.
He passed away. This year has something that neither of us really thought we
No, especially because even though he struggled, you know, Alex became, he went on to become a competitive gymnast, and he was a national level gymnast. Like, he took second in the nation on floor 2 years in a row. I mean, that kid was super talented. He was able to overcome a lot. We always said he was like our resilient kid.
Yeah. Where he ended up was not where
who he truly was.
If you see him a year or a couple years ago, you would not even recognize. I mean, he was a national level gymnast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lots of friends, good in school. He
just fell into it. Yeah, just fell into it.
Part and just fell into some really kind of bad circles. And it just, he got kind of out over his skis a little too far. And that's
ended up losing
him.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
And Lindsay, despite living with Charcot-Marie-Tooth disease, going through personal tragedy, experiencing COVID-19, you still found within yourself the will to compete and to stick to this healthy lifestyle. What were the qualities you had to cultivate in order to push through?
Resilience. Definitely tapping into resilience, along with just, like I said, discipline, dedication, hard work. I mean, that doesn't change no matter what you go through in your life. You got to keep disciplined. You got to keep dedicated. You got to keep working, constantly pushing past my comfort zone, just not placing limits on myself and going for it.
And what kind of feedback did you get from the CMT community when you decided to compete, do resistance training and exercise on a regular basis? What was their response to your healthy lifestyle?
And actually, I just want to back up for 1 minute because there's one thing that I think is super important too, to like talking about the qualities to tap into. There's one thing in life that's a guarantee. It's that you're going to go through tragedy and challenges and obstacles. This has been a super challenging year, but I'm a big believer that there's a purpose in everything. My mentality this year, a lot of times was one day at a time, whether it's CMT, whether it's a personal tragedy or another challenge or obstacle. I truly believe that's always going to get thrown at you, and your mindset is everything. What you tell yourself, whether you can or you can't, that's what it's going to be. If you think you can, you're going to be able to, right? Mm-hmm. Within the CMT community, it's a lot of mixed comments, mm-hmm. a lot of mixed feedback. Some people are super supportive and impressed and feel empowered when they see it or inspired. Others, I notice, feel almost like offended or like they're not understood. They don't feel understood or validated. They think that you don't understand their struggle and how they're experiencing their CMT. Mm-hmm. But really, at the end of the day, we're all living with the same disease. Some think exercise is great and others think it's damaging. And I actually, Dave, I saw something from you post on Facebook, and it was critiquing the common thing that we hear of everyone's CMT is different. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I totally agree with that, but I got to thinking about it and I was like, you know, things are not always apples to apples, but I think anybody can accomplish anything they put their effort towards, really. Mm-hmm. Our journeys may look different to get there. Our paths may be a little bit different, but we all have capabilities. With that said, like my physique in the bodybuilding world isn't going to look exactly like the girl next to me. There's too many variables at play. We all have different quote unquote things at play, but I think can all achieve a similar look through putting in similar efforts and what's mm-hmm. needed to get to the stage. So mm-hmm. with CMT, yes, we are all different. Our journeys will not look the same, but the point is anyone, including somebody in a wheelchair, can make healthy food choices.
Absolutely.
And do some type of movement to try and improve or slow their progression of CMT. Anybody can try that. To discredit the true power and life-changing benefits of exercise and nutrition altogether, to me, is irresponsible and devastating.
Well, there's Absolutely. A guy in a wheelchair in your gym.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, I know a couple different people that do bodybuilding in wheelchairs.
So outside the CMT community, your coach, your contemporaries, the people that see you in the gym, the judges, anybody outside the CMT community that's had interaction with you and knows what you're going through, how is their response?
Usually just completely supportive, inspired. Definitely that for sure. Generally, I don't obviously broadcasted that I have CMT. I don't lead with that. A lot of people don't know that I have that. Yeah.
a lot of people, honestly, they don't even understand.
Yeah. They don't CMT even know what it is.
Yeah. Tell them. They'd like a lot of people, I don't blame them, but like before this, I mean, I never heard of it before and didn't know anything about it. And to this day, when you say something about CMT or whatnot, that people are, they're like, what, shark tooth? Like they don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You have charcoal in your teeth?
Yeah, right. Yeah, so I see that being a point of contention too for sometimes for people with CMT because they feel not seen, because sometimes it can be invisible, if you will, if it's not easily noticeable that you struggle with this. But for me, mm-hmm. again, I don't live my life letting that define me. Some people outside of the CMT community aren't even aware I have that. So I'm just like the competitor next to them that doesn't live with this disease, or next to me that doesn't have this. I think everybody that hits stage has something. I mean, everybody has something they had to go through to get. The feedback in general, especially when people do know, they're very inspired by it. They're very supportive, usually just in awe of like the dedication and discipline it takes to get there. Because a lot of times I go places and everybody's having pizza and I have my meals with me. Like that's just how it is. And so I get teased, but people are so inspired
shame.
By it.
Yeah, yeah. No shame. Do what you do.
Pizza's pretty good though.
I want to do something for our audience and those in the CMT community especially. Is I want to talk about empirical data. I have some data here, some research. I'm just going to read a couple of these, and then I'm going to ask your feedback on each of these research papers, Lindsay and Matt. Here's one entitled, "Is Overwork Weakness Relevant in Charcot-Marie-Tooth Disease?" For many years, it was argued that exercise was bad. For years, the CMT was under the muscular dystrophy umbrella. Now it's viewed as a separate thing and not even associated with muscular dystrophies. This paper here totally blows the overwork weakness argument out of the water. One comment it says here, it says, our data does not support the overwork hypothesis and the consequent harmful effect of exercise in patients with CMT. Physical activity should be encouraged, and rehabilitation remains the most effective treatment for CMT patients. What do you think about that?
I 100, 1,000, 1 million percent agree with it. I think you have to be smart. I think taking injury prevention measures like regular body work and stretching is super important, but that's
absolutely
for anybody. That's for anybody, right? I have experienced nothing but benefits and strength from exercise, not weakness. The complete opposite of weakness.
Yeah, I think it's each person is going to have their own, like she said, everybody's different. What her level of exercise and fitness may not work for everybody per se, based on where they're at with their path with CMT. But definitely for her, it is just witnessing this firsthand. It has been the biggest life changer health wise for her and physically with her legs. She doesn't have, we used to call them icicle feet that we had to suffer through when her feet would get cold and things like that. I mean, there's been such a profound change in her all through healthy eating and exercise.
With what you said, Matt, like anybody can get there. Yes, there's people that are not at my level right now. It took me 7.5 years to get here, right? Mm-hmm, like this is not, this didn't happen overnight. I think that's the other thing that people are like in the CMT community. It's like, well, I'll never be able to get there. Well, if you would have told me at 22 that I'd be where I am today, I would have said the same thing. I wouldn't have believed it. Anybody can get there. It just takes the work, the time, the dedication, the discipline,
absolutely,
all of that.
Do the work.
Yep.
So here's the other information. This is from 2017. It says the effects of self-selected. Okay, self-selected, which means self-directed. You're doing it yourself. The researchers had no say or were involved in selecting the exercises for individuals with CMT. They just were people who exercised and they came in and reported. It says effects of self-selected exercise on strength and Charcot-Marie-Tooth disease subtypes. It says exercise may be beneficial for long-term strength and functioning in CMT. Research has shown that at-home resistance training can result in improvements in both strength and endurance. And they did it in different subtypes of CMT. And their conclusion here was, at present, we have shown that even self-selected exercise may benefit CMT patients without causing overwork weakness. Given the known consequences of weakness on disability in the population, improving strength may have a dramatic impact on quality of life. The management plans of patients with CMT should be comprehensive and include accessible exercise programs.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
Yes.
Truth.
Huge yes. Yeah. Again, actually, I don't think the doctors were wrong when they first diagnosed me per se, in that looking at my progression up until that point, I believe that had I not followed this path, I probably would be in a worse off spot. I've experienced this firsthand in getting into strength training and exercise. And my training has evolved and adapted and changed over the years. I wasn't always as intense as I am now into the weightlifting. Just any sort of exercise, whatever I've done the last 7.5 years, it has been so beneficial. So beneficial.
And I would have to agree. Those of you who don't know who listening, we don't talk about our chronic illness in its official name and terms, as we have Charcot-Marie-Tooth disease as well. But mine is type 2. But it's similar symptoms. I would have to agree that strength training has helped me out significantly. The competitions that I were involved in were great. I'm 43 years old now. Started working out in 1997. I've been involved with exercise for 20-something years. And my 20s were great. Oh, they were awesome. I played basketball. I was active. My 30s were my peak of my life of being a man. And my 30s were wonderful. I had the energy to raise my children. I was able to lift things. I was able to be confident as a man, if that makes any sense.
I remember one time when I was younger, you were playing hide and seek with me and my friends, and I saw you just hauling. You were moving. I was like, I ain't never seen this man run before.
And, yeah. And to me, I wanted to participate in my children's lives. I wanted to be strong. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be active. So I definitely concur with what you're saying. What would your advice be, Lindsay, to women with CMT who are pregnant, who want to get pregnant, want to start a family? What would you tell them about that and exercise and nutrition? What would be your closing words to them?
I remember, first of all, for women contemplating getting pregnant, I think that's a big thing I see in the CMT community too, is knowing that you have a 50-50 chance of passing it to your offspring. That can be a hard reality. I committed, again, to not letting this stop me from living my life, and I wanted kids. So I knew that if I pass it along, I would pass along the same mentality to them, that they can do anything they put their mind to, despite whatever challenges or obstacles come their way. CMT will not stop them, just as it has not stopped me. My advice would be get started on a non-inflammatory diet. Eat as healthy as you can. If you're a person who's already exercising, maintain that exercise throughout your whole pregnancy. It is okay to exercise during pregnancy, assuming you have a healthy pregnancy, and your doctor will know that. If you have never exercised, now is not the time to start an intense exercise program by any means when you're pregnant. Moving your body every day is extremely important. Walk daily, do what you have to, keep moving, eat healthy. Movement and nutrition will be vital to feeling your best both during pregnancy, and it will likely help you have a much smoother birth and a post-pregnancy experience.
Mm. Matt, what would you tell somebody? What advice would you give the mates who do not have CMT but their partner does?
That's a good question. I think for me, it is to respect their journey. Listening to her in the beginning about the realities that she worries about. Like, now she's doing great, but in, 20 years, what's it going to look like? Right now, her body is healthy and strong. And so that, to me, helps me encourage her to keep doing it because she can. And mm-hmm. hopefully she can always continue to do this. And there might be a day that maybe she doesn't have the same abilities to a certain degree that she has now. Man, we get to go around once, live your life the best you can while you can. Mm-hmm. And so I would just say, just to be present as far as where they're at and what their needs are.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you guys for that. We're going to transition into our next segment here. DO3 is going to share a video clip with us.
Awesome guy with a strong message.
Young generation out there, I was told by my father, how big would you dream if you knew you couldn't fail? Stopping us is ourselves. Take one step in the right direction, and you're halfway there to making the dreams come true.
I would agree with that 100%. We hold ourselves back. We limit ourselves.
Yeah, because I saw a video early this morning of Jordan Peterson talking, and he says there's no point of staying still. At least if you go somewhere halfway and it's the wrong direction, you're at least somewhere else and you know where to go from there.
Absolutely. And that's all part of failure, right? Yeah. On your path to whatever you're trying to reach.
It's no fun trying to be perfect.
Yeah, it's a natural part of the process.
That's how you grow.
Absolutely.
Failure is growth.
Okay, meme of the week. I saw this on Instagram and I was rolling. Word of the day, exhaustipated, too tired to give a crap. I have those days. I have CMT days where it's like, I'm not getting out of bed. Good luck, everybody. Do you have those days, Lindsay, or are there few and far between?
Few and far between. I wish I could have those days. I think I'm too busy to have those days.
With cheeseburger, you'll have one of those days real quick.
Right, you're you are absolutely right. That would take me down.
Yeah. Hey, I want to take a nap. I have too much energy. Just eat a cheeseburger. That'll take care of that. Okay, we have a weird fact of the week. What do you got for us, DO3?
All right, what if I told you humans are the only animals that enjoy spicy food?
Oh. So I'm wasting my time if I try to give Charlie a jalapeno?
No, he'll probably be in serious pain if we ever attempted that. Mm. So it turns out it's an evolutionary mystery that scientists have had trouble explaining. But humans are the only animals who actually enjoy spicy food. There does not seem to be any health benefits to eating painful peppers, though some research finds that it may fight off fungus. So the best reason some have suggested is the thrill factor, no different than the fact that we are the only animals that like roller coasters and scary movies.
Oh, it's a psychological thing. I remember my dad sliding over a bowl of jalapenos when I was a kid. He's all, if you want to be a man... If you're a man, you'll eat this.
Yeah, and I also saw a meme not too long ago. It showed a a plant that has developed, what do you call it, safety mechanisms to not be eaten by predators. And then it shows a human walking by 1,000 years later. Ooh, peppers.
I must not be human because I hate spicy stuff.
I love spicy.
Uh-huh. It's good. You imagine the people in Mesopotamia when civilization was first starting. They're sitting around the fire with a bowl of jalapenos, and the toughest tribe men would get up and eat it, and it was part of what the gods wanted. That's where it all started.
I mean, your stomach's not going to feel too good, but be a man.
Yeah, be a man. Eat this jalapeno pepper. All right, that's our show for today. We certainly appreciate you joining us today, Matt and Lindsay. It was an inspiration for me. I feel like I know you better and that I have some new friends.
Yes. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. And that's a wrap, guys.